You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam Nisiam
Nisiaya, Anthaskakhlia, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustail. All right. Hello, listeners of CITR 101.9 FM. This is Randy, and you're listening to Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. And it's Tuesday. It is a sunny Tuesday, which is very exciting for me. Dog-Eared Radio Book Club is a bi-weekly book club coming to you through the airwaves of CITR 101.9 FM. You can always reach me with book suggestions, your reviews on the books before we talk about them. You can email me at dogearedbookclubradio@gmail.com, and you can also find me on Instagram at dogearedradiobookclub. All right, let's hop into today's episode. In today's episode, I am joined by Isia once again.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, well, obviously you had a good time because you're back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very different book today, but I'm back.
Yeah, this one is not as lighthearted as the last one that we read. yeah, so the book for today's episode is Tar Baby by Toni Morrison. I'm going to give a quick content warning. So this book does discuss violence, specifically violence against children, I guess a baby, and then also like partner violence, domestic violence. I'm not sure how deep we'll get into it in our discussion, but I just want listeners to be advised as you're listening to this episode. And always, we're going to spoil the entire book. But don't let that dissuade you. If you want to read it, go read it. You can always stop listening, go read it, and then listen to it. Okay, so the book. Yeah. I am also tired. When I walked into the studio, Isia immediately told me that she's tired. And
no, actually, you said you look tired.
That's true. Yeah. But you admitted it.
Yeah. There's a difference, yeah. Though.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I should have been clearer. Well, I said you look tired because I'm tired and you look how I feel.
True.
So.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Yeah, it's sunny today, which I'm excited, but it really took it out of me.
I haven't been outside, not once, since I got here. It's been like 7 hours, and I've just been indoors, so.
Wow, that's sad. Okay, well, let's talk about this book. Okay, so let's start off, before we do any reactions or anything, we're going to do the back of the book segment, where I read the back of the book, and then we decide if the description is accurate. And I have, like, some thoughts on this, so we'll get into that. But without further ado, here is the description of Tar Baby. Jadine Child is a black fashion model with a white patron, a white boyfriend, and a coat made out of 90 perfect sealskins. Son is a black fugitive who embodies everything she loathes and desires. As Morrison follows their affair, which plays out from the Caribbean to Manhattan and the Deep South, she charts all the nuances of obligation and betrayal between black people and white people, masters and servants, and women or men and women. End of description.
I mean, I think it's a pretty good description of the
book. So the one thing that I did, I was confused is because when I looked at the description to write my description for like my Instagram, I went on Wikipedia, which I've never done before, but it was the first one that popped up, and the description on Wikipedia is very different.
Oh, what is it?
So I'm gonna read it now.
Go ahead. What is it, Randy?
it's more involved, okay. I guess. Okay, so here's the plot description on Wikipedia. This novel portrays a love affair between Jadine and Son, two black Americans from very different worlds. Jadine is a beautiful Sorbonne graduate, which I had to look that up.
Is it school?
Yeah.
Okay.
And fashion model, who has been sponsored into wealth and privilege by the streets, a wealthy white family who employ Jadine's aunt and uncle as domestic servants. Son is an impoverished, strong-minded man who washes up on the streets estate on a Caribbean island. As Jadine and Son come together, their affair ruptures the illusions and self-deceptions that held together the world and relationships at the estate. They travel back to the United States to search for something they can both be at, somewhere they can both be at home, and find that their homes hold poison for each other. The struggle of Jadeen and Sun reveals the pain, struggle, and compromises confronting Black Americans seeking to live and love with integrity in the United States.
That's too much. I don't know. I feel like that gives away way too much. And
yeah.
Is there a reason that it's not on the back of the book, I guess?
Yeah. No, I think that's like a good, which, like, now that I've read the book, it makes sense why Wikipedia did that, because they're trying, it's like a plot movie overview, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I think it's like, so it's like a movie, right? A plot description of a movie is way more involved versus like
a blurb.
A blurb.
Yeah.
So I think actually this was really good what Morrison did. I mean, again, I don't know if Morrison did it or the publisher did it, but like the fact that it isn't very involved, because this book is like, there's quite a lot of things that happen in a short amount of time. So I think if you tried, like, exactly, the one on Wikipedia gives it all away. But I will say, I definitely thought they were going to go to New York earlier in the book.
Yeah.
Based on that, because that was the description that I read. So that was interesting. But
yeah, there's a lot of like setup.
Yeah.
And like I don't know if I'm jumping the gun, but like reading reviews of this book, a lot of people who had negative reviews were like, it took so long to get to like that part, because they were expecting the book to be like just like a love story, I guess, rather than like everything that it was. But I didn't have any like presumptions. Going into the book, besides like knowing how Toni Morrison writes and knowing that everything would be complicated, basically,
which you knew more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say I had like presumptions. I thought the book would be shorter. That's why I read it. I was like, I'll just read it today. Which was a bad. I was like, it can't be. I read a book yesterday. I could totally do this.
And what was that book about?
The book that I read yesterday? Yeah. I'm so glad you asked. It was about a non-binary cabaret dancer who falls in love with the bartender that works at their club.
When is it set? Like now?
Yeah, like now. Oh, okay. It's current.
Cool.
It was actually so beautiful. I cried.
Nice.
Yeah, it was so romantic. But again, it was like a romance novel.
Yeah.
So it's like 80% dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty digestible. So I had to kind of like speed read this book. So I'm going to like admit that I probably didn't get all of, especially like when Morrison has like pages of description, like we were talking about, like a paragraph is like 2 pages. I will admit I probably didn't get as much out of that as I could have, but I did finish it. So I'm counting that as a win. Okay. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, let's do overall reactions.
Me first?
Yes, okay. You first.
Overall, this book left me, I had a lot of questions when this book ended. I wasn't like sure how I felt about anything in the book. It was kind of like overall just a big question mark for me. I mean, obviously the ending is very nebulous and like you leave everyone off without like getting any like big answers at the end of the book. I recently read Jazz, which is the first Toni Morrison book I've ever read, and I found this book to be a lot easier to read than Jazz. And also because I read Jazz, I was kind of more used to the way she writes, which I think a lot of people who don't like Toni Morrison are like, her books are hard, which is fair, but like,
yeah.
I don't know, just try harder, read them. and I don't know, I liked how, like, it just, I just don't know how I feel about these people in this book, which I mean, I think is her intention, and like, her characters are always just really complicated and like have been through things and like aren't just like wrestling with all these complex dynamics and situations, and you're always, it's like never clear cut with her, which I like, and I feel like this book exemplified that a lot, but definitely left me thinking a lot. I wasn't like, oh cool, that's over. I was like, I don't know, that's what I thought when I first read it.
Yeah, I would say I was similar. I think also, like, I don't recommend reading this just, like, straight through.
No.
I think this is definitely a book that you could read, like, a chapter a day.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did.
Yeah.
I read it, like, over, like, 2 weeks, like, mm-hmm. very slowly.
Yeah, because I think that gives you, like, more time to absorb, especially because there's, like, time jumps toward the end, like, time passing. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're reading books where there's, like, a jump in time, if you read it within, you know, like, the four to five hours it took me to read today, it really condenses it all. So I think it detracts from the like the idea that time passes in the novel.
Yeah.
So I find that to be very, yeah, that wasn't great. But overall, I did, yeah, I will say, like, I wouldn't say I had expectations going in for what Morrison's writing style would be like. But overall, this, I will admit, like, this is not the writing style that I normally read.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, a huge, like, I guess this book would be, like, literary fiction. I'm not a huge reader of that, so I'm used to, like, shorter paragraphs, like, a lot less description and imagery in books, and also very clear dialogue. There was times where I had to reread dialogue because I couldn't figure out who was talking, because there's no, like, she said, or Sydney said, or someone said, or so-and-so.
Yeah.
So you kind of had to, like, go to the back and then, like, follow kind of what they were saying.
Yeah.
And I found that to be a bit harder. I have read books where they've done that, but they, I don't know how to, but they basically, like, split it. So it's, like, it's kind of like when they do text messages in books. So
yeah,
it's, like,
yeah,
on the left and the right. Yeah. And even for my eyes, sometimes that's easier. But so I did sometimes, but I mean, that just made me, I guess, like, savor the book more, because I couldn't just, like, speed read through what was happening. I actually had to, like, absorb what they were saying.
Yeah.
And try to think about, like, why they were saying it, or, like, who would be saying it.
Yeah. She definitely, like, forces you to pay attention.
Yeah.
Like, she, I don't know, she just demands a lot of attention, which I think is cool
mm-hmm.
in her books, which is why, like, people who love Toni Morrison, like, love
yeah.
Toni Morrison, and they're like, my brain is so big understanding this book.
Yeah. I think that's definitely true. And by the time I got to an end to it, by the time I got to the end of it, I realized that I need to reread it, because there was parts of the beginning that I wasn't paying enough attention to.
Yeah.
That, like, were kind of brought back. Like, the one character, is it Emmy? No.
Gideon?
Amy. No, whatever, like, the character that, like, comes back. So, like, Gideon and Teresa come back at the end, but then someone else comes back that, like, they know. The person that Son asks where Jade is. I can't remember who that, I think it's, like, they said it, they described her as a kid, but she has a job at the airport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I forgot her character name, too.
Yeah, but they were, I swear that name was also mentioned at the beginning.
She was, like, a girl who he met in the, like, little town where Gideon and Teresa live,
mm-hmm.
and I think they maybe, like, hooked up.
Yeah, that maybe, that part was not made
but
clear
I
at all.
I wasn't sure. He that promised was her a wig. I know that he said he'd get her a wig. He never got her the wig, and she was like,
"I thought he did."
No, he didn't.
Oh,
yeah, he promised.
She
was wearing a, like, a really shoddy wig.
Oh, I see. I
which is why it comes up. Because it's, like,
right.
unfortunate.
That was my other thing in this book. Sometimes I couldn't tell the tone of the characters.
Yeah.
Like, there was times where I thought the characters were being sarcastic, but what they were saying was, like, so horrible.
Yeah.
That I didn't know. And I, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, an example that I could say on the air. But, I mean, I don't have to, like, quote it. But I think even, like, in the first conversation that we hear, like, kind of the conversation between Sydney and
Ondine.
Is that how you pronounce the name?
I don't know. I've never said it out loud until right now. I think it's Ondine. Ondine? What else?
But it's a V.
What?
What?
Ondine?
Oh, no. The guy. The white, like,
oh,
the
Walter. Street? Who's the
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, Street. But
Street,
his
Mr.
first
Street.
Name.
I don't know. We can just call
it's
him
like
Mr. Street.
It's like Valardin.
Valerian. It's Valerian. I have an uncle named Valerian. Valerian Street.
Valerian.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Valerian. Yeah.
Walter. Sounds right. It sounds like a... Anyways.
A white dude who has a house on an island in the Caribbean. Yeah. So does Street, though, like Mr. Street.
Yeah.
anyways, yeah, I forgot what I was going to say already. But yeah, in that conversation, there was like a lot of times that I couldn't tell, like, if he was being cruel or if he was trying to be funny.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I think it's like the breakfast scene when they're first.
Yeah.
You kind of get introduced to their dynamic. It is interesting, but I feel like it's kind of indicative of the relationship between Mr. Street and, like, basically, yeah, Ondine and Sydney and also Jadine. Like, all those relationships are just, like, really strange.
Yeah.
And, like, because, yeah, Sydney and Ondine are, like, they work for him and he's their employer, but they're also, like, so interwoven because they've been in his household for decades and, yeah, like, raised his children, but he has this authority over them. It's, like, really,
yeah,
very messy and uncomfortable. Strange.
Yeah, which I think is, like, when we get the scene where everything sort of goes wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like, blows up, that, like, all of those, like that entire power dynamic comes out,
mm-hmm.
I think. Which is interesting. But yeah, no. And then also, like, the way he talks when Margaret came out in the breakfast scene. So again, like, at the beginning of the book, when Margaret came out, who is Mr. Street's wife.
Yeah.
And,
like, technically the, like, Jadine works for her, technically, yeah, right? Yeah. In some, yeah, way. Like, that relationship, she's, like, kind of her assistant.
Yeah.
Like, friend, but kind of situation.
Companion.
Yeah, she's like a professional companion, yeah, for Margaret, essentially.
Yeah. Also, Jadine is, I mean, if anyone didn't read the book and you're listening, Jadine is the niece of
Ondine and Sydney.
Yeah, and Sydney.
But she's also been, like, sponsored basically by Mr. Street through her education. And,
yeah,
like, she's pretty well to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, given wealth. But when Margaret comes out and then the conversation that ensues between Margaret and Valerian.
Mm-hmm. Is that his
name? Yeah, Valerian. That also, like, I made a note in my, when I was reading it, being like, I, like, this is coming across as, like, funny, not like haha funny, but, yeah, sort of like that, like, banter back and forth. But then throughout the book, it comes more and more cruel. So it kind of, like, leaves you sort of, like, a little bit on edge, which I think is what you're saying, like, because, like, he holds power over all of these people.
Yeah. Yeah, he, like, is, there's just, like, no equal standing. Like, there's no one who has, like, equal standing with Walter in, like, any power dynamic, even, like, even somewhat. And
yeah,
he, like, is kind of, like, trying to be, like, benevolent, chill guy, but he's also, like, it's weird. Like, he also has, like, very clear, like, I'm above you. Like, we don't, mm-hmm, do these certain things until he just changes his mind.
Yeah.
And, like, invites Son for dinner after he's, yeah, hiding in his wife's closet. Like,
yeah,
it's confusing for sure.
Yeah. But, and I think what, so I think Ondine says that, again, in the scene where everything kind of blows up. I think she says after to Sydney that, like, we're all just, like, entertainment to him.
Yeah.
Like, he'll do whatever he wants because he can. And so it's just, like, entertainment. Like, what entertains him at the moment. And, mm-hmm, so it was entertaining to him, I guess, from, I guess, like, my perspective reading it, to invite Son because of the way, like, Margaret reacted and the way they all reacted. He's like, oh, this would, I don't, that's how I imagine. Like, I imagined him, like, picturing his life like a chess game, and he just got to, like, manipulate and move people because he always had, like, an immense amount of power over them.
Yeah, and he's been so successful, and he's just kind of at this point in his life where he has nothing to do but, like, basically create situations for his, like, personal enjoyment, like his greenhouse. Like, he spends all day in, like, a, like, false environment in a it's hilarious. Like, he's in a he's on a tropical island with, like, beautiful fruits and vegetables,
yeah,
and he's obsessed with spending all day in a greenhouse that mimics the temperature of where are they from in the States?
Isn't Philadelphia or Baltimore?
Baltimore, yeah. Baltimore or Philly, I can't remember. One of the two. Anyways,
yeah.
Like, somewhere around there,
yeah,
just imitating the weather there so we can grow, like, the plants that are nostalgic to him.
And like hydrangea, is hydrangeas one?
I think hydrangeas. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like that's pretty indicative of just who he is. He like wants to be on this like beautiful island and like live a peaceful retired life, but like doesn't even want to budge to like engage with that environment. Like mm-hmm. he had to bring his like people who worked for him over there and like brings yeah. literally like a piece of home with him just because he can. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, it's interesting.
I think it does. Yeah. And then I don't even know what was going on with Margaret
is a hot mess. She's also married to a man who like does not like met her and was like, wow, you're beautiful, we should get married.
She's 19.
Yeah, he's like, wow, you beautiful young angel.
And he was like 20 years older than her, so he was like, he would have been almost 40, I think.
Yeah. And like obviously he doesn't actually, he just doesn't like listen to her or really care for her opinion on anything.
No.
she's just like this.
He finds her like a nuisance.
Yeah, definitely like towards the end,
yeah,
especially.
That's how he's like, but even in that conversation again at the beginning, like he's just like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
And like he's just like, you're like a bug, sort of. Like you're like a little pest. But then she is also like immensely cruel to Ondine.
Yeah. No, they're both like everyone in this, like there's not really, I think Sydney and Ondine are like the most likable characters. And maybe like Teresa and Yardman are chill, or slash Gideon, Yardman slash Gideon. But the big four, like Walter, Valerian, Margaret, Jadeen, and Sun are all just like, there's so much going on there.
Yeah.
And they're all like, not, I didn't find any of them like likable, and I wasn't, obviously I was rooting for Jadeen and Sun more than I was rooting for like Valerian and Margaret at any point in the book.
Yeah.
But they're all just kind of acutely awful in their own ways, or like inconsiderate and like stubborn.
Yeah.
And it just makes for a crazy mix of people, I think.
It's also interesting, this is kind of switching topics a little bit, but when the only thing you did tell me as like, because you read the book before I did, obviously.
Yeah.
But the only thing I remember you telling me is that it's not like a romance. It's not like they're not good together. Yeah. They're like, it's toxic. And so the whole time I was reading it, I was like, wow. Yeah. No, these people, what are you fighting for? Like, I don't get what is happening in this relationship. I think also because the book, that's not like the focus of it. Like, it is the focus of it, but it's not really. Like, I think the book actually is more about all of their relationships with each other, because mm-hmm. we get, like, Morrison focuses on the point of view of more than just Son and Jadeen, which, like, if their quote-unquote love story was the main plot, then we would probably only get their perspective, but we don't. We get, like, kind of everyone's view. So, yeah, I was, like, so it wasn't, like, a super fleshed out, but, like, what we were given was, like, not good.
Yeah, and I don't think it's, like, supposed to be. Like, I read some reviews where people were, like, oh, I just wanted Jadeen and Sun to run off together and be successful and blah, blah, blah. And I'm, like, did we read the same book?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't, I don't know. Like, I understood their, really, not understood their relationship, but, like, they just have this like weird innate attraction to each other that they just like couldn't shake.
Yeah.
And he literally like travels over land and sea to find her at the end, or attempt to find her. But it's definitely not like aspirational or even like kind of worth rooting for. Like there was moments where I was just really like, oh, just like do this to make it work.
Yeah.
Or like, just go to school, Son. Or I'm like, just like, go hang out in Elo, Jadeen. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But in the like grand scheme of things, it's just like they're so fundamentally different, and they have like such different outlooks on life, and like their experiences are like night and day, and it's just not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they toxic AF. So.
I think what's really interesting in this book is like, obviously, this book is a lot about I guess. Well, I would say race and class would be the main ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, overarching. But I think it was really interesting, like, for Jadine's character, how class, like, plays a role in her relationship with Son.
Because massive.
Yeah, like, her entire thing of, like, you need to be educated, you need to do this, you need to do this. And, like, she's, I don't know, flies on first class flights everywhere and, like, is so disgusted by the place she has to stay in. What is it?
ELO? Yeah, ELO, Florida.
Yeah, I thought that was...
Yeah, she's like... I mean, I guess I kept on forgetting when this book was set. I think it's the 70s?
I think, I would guess it's like... Because one time they mentioned the early 70s, so I was guessing like mid-70s to late. Because it was written in 1981.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like the... it's the 70s, somewhere in the 70s. And she's like... very, like, I don't know, she's like an extremely privileged Black woman, like, she's really beautiful, she has money, she like got to go to a nice school, she lives a very cushy life, and you can tell that she's kind of like, she doesn't want to be defined by her Blackness and is very like, I'm a woman in this world, like, I'm making it, anyone, like, she kind of has like a kind of like, I don't know. She's like, I made it. Other people can make it. Like, this is almost achievable and, like, aspirational. Whereas, and, like, is trying to not divorce herself from her Blackness, but, like, she, you can definitely tell she has, like, an uncomfortable relationship with it, especially with that one scene where she, like, sees that woman at the grocery store and is, like, completely enthralled by her because she's just, like, this, like, shameless... I don't know. She's just like this beautiful Black woman who didn't give a who did not care, and was like just attracting all this like attention. And whether it was negative or positive, she was just like basking in it. And I think that's something Jadine is uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. Whereas Sun is like, he has like very strong convictions and like ideas about race and like how it relates to power, and like is like you like these people, like this white family, like doesn't care about you at the end of the day, and like they could take everything away from you at the drop of a hat, and like you may think that they're kind to you, but it's just transactional, and there's no use trying to like play these people's game. Basically, he like doesn't want to be a part of any of it. He doesn't want to like try to make it just for the sake of making it, or to make his life easier. He just like wants to be kind of divorced from like all these systems of power that have like kind of obviously discriminated against him and Jadine. But she's like, no, I made it though.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah,
and that's like their fundamental difference, and that's like the main thing that. I keep on forgetting like basic English words, prevents them from like ever working. Like, it would be impossible because they have such different ideas about like race and power and like America, basically.
I think it's also when you brought up, like Jadine's relationship to her Blackness, it's like Toni Morrison really complicates it, I would say, by like adding in additional elements. So like the conversation that Jadine has with Valerian about the conversation she had with Michael when he was like calling her out for like not supporting the work of Black activists in the US.
Yeah.
Because that's like a weird, like this white dude that also comes from a super privileged background.
Yeah.
Like telling a Black woman, being like, you need to do more. But then at the same time, like you're saying, she does have this kind of like separation where she's like, I made it.
Yeah.
You know, I did it. I'm successful. I have wealth.
She just says like if she was around today, or like if this character was made in a 2023 context, I feel like she'd be like, I'm colorblind, you know?
Yeah.
And like race isn't everything. Like, chill.
It's about who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Son is like militantly like, no, like it's everything, and I definitely like agree with him more or like empathize with his position in a lot of ways more, just because everything that she has is like, she got it because Walter. Valeria decided, like, this family decided to be generous.
Yeah.
Which is not, like, dependable or, like, just a reality for, like, most people. And she's kind of just, like, I don't know. It's like she doesn't want to admit that or something.
Yeah. It, like, I feel like her awareness of the reason why, she, like, the way that she got these things, especially in the way that she sees the relationship between, like, her relationship with Margaret and Valerian versus the relationship between Valerian and Ondine and Sydney.
Yeah.
Like, when Ondine is talking about, like, where she sleeps, because she sleeps up top in their, like, house.
Yeah.
Versus they sleep in, like, servant quarters.
Yeah.
In their own, like, little apartment thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, like, her relationship with them is so strange.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, a surrogate daughter pacifier for his wife. Like,
yeah.
It's, I don't know, like, Ondine and, it's just, I kept on forgetting that, she's their, like, niece.
Yeah.
But she has such a different, like, status in their relation, in, like, that household. But it's also really strange because she's somewhere in the middle. Like, she's obviously not one of them, but the, like, lines of, there's not, like, a clear delineation between, like, I don't know how to say this. But she's basically, like, just stuck in between two, like, clear, like, I'm one of them, slash I, like, work for them, and I'm basically just the help and, like, here to be a servant, like, Sydney and Ondine are, and it kind of muddles her understanding of things.
Yeah.
Where Sydney and Ondine are just, like, we work hard, we work for them, we expect certain things, but we know that, like, we're just employees to these people at the end of the day.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a very quick break, so don't go anywhere, and when we get back, we'll keep talking.
How are you? The Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
What's good for me now? Hunting for new live music? Come see Indie Pop Quintet Bridal Party live at the Cobalt on Tuesday, April 25th. Perform songs from their new album, Cool Down, out everywhere now. With support from Dassey and Doohickey Cubicle. Tickets available at bridalpartytheband.com.
Are you interested in conversations about intersectionality? Listen to Intersections, presented by CITR 101.9 FM's Intersectionality Collective, a show where we tackle a range of topics that impact gender, race, sexuality, and social justice, like anti-fat bias, understanding microaggressions, and racism in the food industry. Tune into Intersections bi-weekly on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Each episode will feature either a panel discussion from the members of the Intersectionality Collective or an expert on that week's topic. So tune in and also check out our episode archive on CITR.ca/intersections.
Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Hello and welcome back to Dog Ear Radio Book Club. I am your host, Randy. And the person causing all the noise is my co-host today, Isia.
Hi.
we're talking about Tar Baby by Toni Morrison. Every time I go to say that, I almost say jazz because you also talk about that book. But that's okay. We read Tar Baby. And so before the break, we were talking about... I don't know what we were talking about.
We're just talking about everyone, kind of.
Yeah, there's not a lot of... Like, okay, the thing is, when I created this show, I basically was reading, like, for the show, I was like, oh, we'll do romance novels. So a lot of my notes and, like, episode division is based on, like, a romance novel plot.
Yeah.
So then when I read something outside of that, I'm like, I don't know how to organize this. But I think it's fine, because also this book is not, like, organized in, like, a fashion. I feel like talking about this kind of, like, free-flowing makes more sense after you read the book. Mm-hmm. But during the ad break, we were discussing what to discuss next. And let's talk about the fight slash...
It's, like, the climax of the book.
The climax of the book.
Almost.
Climactic scene.
One of the fights. There's, like, two fights. Yeah. Two big fights, I guess.
Yeah. I think this is the main, because everyone's involved in this one.
True. This would be, if this was a TV show, that episode, Emmy winning. There's always that one episode of television where everything just kind of like goes crazy. Anyways, don't adapt it.
Yeah. Don't adapt it. I was actually thinking of that because I was thinking of Succession, which I'm not very far into. But then I was thinking of The White Lotus, which I haven't watched. But I was just thinking about like HBO creating these shows about rich people. And I was just thinking about I don't think they would do this book the way... I think it's meant to be read.
Hard to do justice.
Because I think Morrison, this is kind of sidetracked, but I think Morrison writes in a way where it leaves everything very open-ended, so you can interpret things the way that you like think or want to based on your own experiences, your own understanding, versus I think HBO and most TV isn't, like, it's not trying, like, it's trying to just, like, present you with something and you say, okay, and then you walk away.
Yeah. Succession... You should see Succession Twitter, though. I can't even talk about Succession more. I talked about Succession for 20 minutes air today.
We're not... But... I don't want to talk. I made it... I don't know how many episodes I made it in, and then I had to take a year-long break.
Fair.
And funny thing, I actually tweeted that I was going to start watching Succession, and then I quit, like, 5 episodes in or something. Damn. Yeah. Anyways, back to the book, Tar Baby. Okay, so this scene. So basically, I guess I should, like, give an overview of what happened. So I'm going to try, and then you fill in
the blanks.
I guess points that you think are important. So they're all sitting down. Okay, scratch that. They're not all sitting down for dinner. So I guess Valerian and Margaret are sitting down, and is Jadine and Son eating with them?
Yeah, Jadine and Son are there.
Okay.
Margaret made a whole thing about her cooking the dinner because she wants to make the dinner in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through, gives up.
Yeah.
Undine takes over, as it always happens,
mm-hmm.
According to the book. And then at some point, they're all sitting.
Yeah.
I think they're just like...
Oh, they're all in the room.
Like, they're all like drunk. They're like, Michael didn't show up, who's Valerian and Margaret's kid.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like, this is failing. Let's just all sit and eat.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how they end up sitting.
Yeah. Well, okay. So they're all there. And then I actually am realizing I don't remember any of this despite the fact I read it like 4 hours ago. So what does, because Margaret says something.
Yeah, I can't actually remember the catalyst for this. Like, why does it go crazy?
Yeah.
They're definitely all just drunk. That's one of the things.
Yeah. And then, okay, hold on. I'm going to find I don't, when I'm looking through my phone, I'm like, we need some background music. But I don't. Okay, here we go. So it seems like they're discussing something. And, oh boy, I'm really trying to find this. Oh wait, this is the very beginning. That's not helpful.
What chapter does it happen in?
Well, so I think it's in chapter 6. But when I click on it, there we go. Now it takes me. Okay, so... And I'm sorry to all the listeners that are like, what's happening? I'm trying to speed read Morrison's writing on my phone. I highlighted the part where, like, Ondine talks about what Margaret did to her kid.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to find before that what actually sets off the fight. Yeah, it kind of seems like, oh, I know what it is. So they find out that Valerian fired Gideon
and
Teresa. That's what it is.
And it sets Ondine off.
And because they stole apples?
Yeah, and he's like, I don't like thieves. And then does Son say that whole thing about, like, you're like, you can't even talk about being a thief or, like, people being thieves when, like, you profited off of, like, you made your riches off of a chocolate factory or whatever, and, like, that chocolate was farmed by, like, child labor in, like, on the islands and in Africa, and that gained your wealth and blah, blah, blah. And basically, like, he was just like, you don't deserve all this wealth you have anyways, and you're firing people for being thieves. But did he say that, or was that, like, an internal monologue?
I don't think he said all of that. He did say this part, though. Inconvenience for who? Son asked. You didn't go and get them. They did. You didn't row 18 miles to bring them here. They did. Which I assume they're talking about the apples.
True.
Yeah. He's right. So, and then it, like, sparks because then Ondine is upset that they were fired and let go. And number one, that she didn't know. And then also because what a dumb thing. Like, awful thing to do. And so then she's upset. And then she talks about having to make the stupid apple pies because Margaret wanted this traditional American Christmas.
Yeah.
And so she made these apple. But then she made something out. Anyway,
well, they ended up making they made like an oily boilin. Yeah, represent.
Yeah.
they made a Dutch dessert. Ondine is basically, I think what that, like, spark all boils down to is, like, if you think about Ondine and Sydney's job, it's like their job has especially in the setting, has robbed them of any, like, personal ownership. Like, they don't own anything. They spent all the money that they've had on Jadine and, like, setting her up as much as they can. Obviously in addition to, like, all the money that Valerian has given her. And they don't have they don't own a home. They live in, like, Valerian's property. And their whole life has been working for Valerian. He's, like, basically their retirement plan. Mm-hmm. And, like, all Ondine has is her, like, personal, or the closest thing she has to a personal, like, space or, like, sphere is, like, her kitchen and her job and, like, where she has authority is, like, in her little sphere over, like, Gideon and Teresa and, like, the people who, like, work for her or, like, work under her, I guess.
Yeah.
And Valerian infringed on that by firing them. Margaret's, like, all up in her kitchen trying to cook, even though every time she gives up and she has to take over anyways, and the place is probably a mess.
Yeah.
And, like, she's had it. Her feet hurt.
Yeah.
She's had it.
Yeah, so she basically just, like, lets all of that out and tells them. And she also she says that Margaret hit her because she was trying to cook and she failed. So then I guess she took it out on her in anger.
Yeah.
She just, like, lashes all this out. And then that's when it comes out because Valerian's like, leave, get out of my house. And she's like, this is, like, it's not your kitchen, it's mine. And then that becomes the whole thing. And then Margaret's like, it's my kitchen, it's my house, I'm the woman of the house. And then Ondine's like, you can't even cook. And then it comes out the whole thing about how Margaret abused Michael when he was a baby.
Yeah, who's their kid. And we haven't mentioned, but he basically, like, avoids this family at all costs.
Which is why he didn't show up to this dinner.
And Margaret was, like, making all this fuss and, like, was stressing over this dinner so much because she thought Michael would come and wanted him to come so badly. And as always, he didn't.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why they're in the situation in the first place where they're, like, all together on Christmas Day eating this, like, weird meal.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a very big revelation because you're like, that's why he never comes around, because his mom was awful to him when he was a little kid.
Yeah. And also Valerian would suck.
Yeah.
And it's very clear from the get-go that they don't get along. Like, Valerian basically hates everything his son does.
Yeah. And they, like, but also it's like he's so shocked. Like, Valerian, obviously, that's shocking news to hear that, like, your wife has been abusing your child. Like, that would be shocking for everyone. But, like, also, he isn't involved. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't really care about Margaret as a person. Like, she's just, like, a woman, like, who was beautiful and gave him a baby.
And like, then got old.
And, like, yeah, got old. He doesn't care about her opinions or what she wants. He doesn't care about Michael and, like, what he's, like, trying to do in life and, like, the path he's trying to carve out for himself. And Pare was just, like, kind of absent. Like, he wasn't an abusive father, but he was just, like, he just didn't care.
Yeah.
Which is, like, nuts. Like, I'm reading, not to go on too much of a tangent, but I'm reading about Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm reading his autobiography right now. And, like, same with him. He's like, my parents just didn't care what I did. I was just running around Hollywood all day when I was a kid, like 11, getting up to all this stuff, and they just didn't care.
Yeah.
And it's like, no wonder Valerian didn't know. It's because he doesn't pay attention.
Yeah.
To anyone, except for his freaking garden and classical music.
Yeah, his music and his flowers.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, music and flowers are great. That was not an ugh to them. But yeah, it's not, I don't know where I was going with this. But yeah, so anyways, there's like this big blow up and then that's where they all kind of just depart, I guess, after. So like Sydney and Ondine go off.
They're technically fired. He fires them.
That's true. He does fire them.
Ondine slaps Margaret across the face.
Yeah.
Very cathartic.
Very satisfying.
If I must say,
I will say, I already like mentioned this to you, but I think Ondine was the character throughout the book that I was like, yeah, I agree. Like when she would say things, I was kind of like, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Whereas like when Margaret would say anything, I was like, I get that I'm supposed to like, but she's just so awful to Ondine.
I don't think you're supposed to like her. I think she's actually the most textbook unlikable person. Like, just personality-wise, she's, like, the most off-putting in the whole book.
She's very whiny.
Yeah, she's like, meh. I get it. She has nothing to do. But, like, that's her problem.
Yeah, but it's, like, the rich woman.
Yeah, no.
The rich white woman problem.
Yeah, it's, like, just literally do anything.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sorry that you drink all day. And, like, because you don't have a job or
like house duties, a life or anything,
or a hobby or anything,
or like a child that likes you.
Yeah,
like she, it's all her doing.
I'm sure your life is awful.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, no, exactly. Whereas like Ondine is actually like struggling.
Yeah, yeah. Her and Sydney really
like faces actual adversity.
Yeah, and even like, I don't know. It's in what I, okay, this is a very small detail in the book, but I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
Because when Jadine's talking about all their, like, the presents she got everyone, and she's like, I got this dress for Ondine that's beautiful and these beautiful shoes and, like, blah, blah, blah. And Ondine, when she finally gets the gift, is like, I can't even wear these shoes. My feet hurt. She, like, she's giving me all the stuff that I can't even, like, use because I'm not a model in Paris. Like, I work in a house and I don't know. It was just, it kind of showed how like out of touch Jadine is with like the reality of like the little family she has and like other people basically who aren't lucky like her. Because she was like, this is a perfect gift. And Ondine's like, no, it's not.
Well, and also that comes again, like her classism comes across when she's in Elo, visiting son's family.
Yeah.
Like, she just is like, you're all so dumb. Like, I can't talk to you for more than 10 minutes.
Yeah. She was like, these hicks. Yeah. She's just like.
She's like, I'm going to take photos of you.
Yeah. She's like. And also, it's not that important, but I was like, oh my gosh, just chill. I know it sucks that you can't, like, sleep in the same bed with him because his family is very Christian and they're not married. But I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more tolerant of that stuff, but I'm like, some people are just like religious. You don't live with them. It's like it's like 10 days.
Yeah.
You can live just abiding by their like silly little rules.
Also, this is like a minor thing, but she kept complaining she was too hot. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I'm pretty sure sleeping with someone else in your bed even makes it hotter temperature wise.
Yeah. That is true.
That's it. Just temperature.
Oh, she was complaining about it because she likes to sleep naked, and his aunt shamed her into wearing pajamas. She's like,
but like literally she walks out of her room naked and is like, you want me to put on clothes? Yeah, dude, this is not your house. Like, you can't just walk around. Yeah. Honestly, a lot of things Jadine did, and like the further we went throughout the novel, I was like, why are you doing that? Like, I'm trying to like give an example, but I don't know. I'm not going to come up with one right now that I've made the point. But I feel like, yeah, it was just, like, very, like...
It was, yeah. She's just extremely dismissive.
Like, the sealskin jacket thing.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Oh, how she would just, like, gyrate on her jacket.
I was like, why am I reading this? I don't... It's making me uncomfortable.
It must have been really soft.
Yeah, I've never felt sealskin.
I don't think most people have. You're not rich.
I don't have rich patrons from Paris. Yeah, I have felt a fur jacket because my great aunt was very bougie and had three fur jackets.
Nice. You can get pretty good ones used.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd like to sell these ones. It's been on my list for years. But the problem is they're not, like, well-preserved. It's because they just, like, hung in a closet.
Mm, yeah. Clothes are, they get holy and mothy. Anyways.
Rich people clothing. yeah. So this scene, it was both cathartic, but I was also like, where are we going from here? Like, that was like, my thing. Because I think, like, the build-up, obviously we were building up to that scene, but then to have so much time after that, I was kind of like, what's... And then I think that time after that was more focused on the relationship between Son, because that's when they decide to leave together.
Yeah, they basically just leave without saying goodbye, which is really crappy to Undine and Sydney. And understandably, Undine is very upset with it when Jadine eventually comes back.
Yeah.
But yeah, they run away together to New York. First, Son goes, and then I was like, that like period between Son going to New York and waiting for her, and her going was like, I was like, one of them's gonna die. I don't know. I was like really stressed.
One
of
them's gonna die.
Something bad's gonna happen.
I assumed that she just wasn't gonna show up.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I was like,
something bad is gonna happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, and they for like a few months they're like, woo, love.
Yeah.
And then they go to ELO.
But she doesn't, she doesn't work. She doesn't do anything, does she?
She works. She models.
Oh.
Yeah. She's like, I model.
Because there was like that scene where she's like bugging him at work and is like, you should leave and come here and keep me company.
I mean, she's like, she works like, she like does a big job and then she doesn't have to work for like a bit and then she works again. She has like freelance. She's like a celebrity, but not famous. But like, you know, she's like an influencer basically. She like does, and she, I think most of her work is in Paris, so if she wants to like work for real, she has to go back to Paris,
because
like there's more of a market for like black women.
She said
basically
the market for black women models is they have to look childlike, like 12
in the States.
In the States versus she
has more longevity in Paris. So she's kind of living off savings actually.
Interesting.
I think, and just hanging with her socialite friends.
Yeah.
Not socialite, but like, you know.
And they're staying at the Hilton, which I don't know what Hiltons were like in the 70s, but they're very expensive now.
Well, she was there for a bit, then they subletted.
Oh, they did. Wow. Okay, see, this is my point. I feel like I missed minor details.
You
I was
read
reading
it too,
fast.
Too fast. You read too fast.
And
then they sublet, and then the sublet's coming to an end.
Oh.
And that's also around the time where everything blows up, because they have to make decisions. About, like, because, like, they're kind of in fan, like, they have, like, a 3-month stretch where they know where they are.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah.
So is there a reason they go to ELO, or do they just go there?
Well, that's where his family is.
Okay, I know, but he's also wanted for murder.
Yeah, but, like, you know.
So they just go to visit his family?
Yeah, he hasn't been back since, like, it happened. Like, they're all like, oh, you're still alive. Like, that's crazy. He's just been living on ships, like.
Yeah.
Like, his life is, like, nuts. Like, he's really, like, the stark difference between, I guess we've never mentioned this. But, yeah, while Jadine's, you know, highly educated, beautiful, making that model money and Valerian money, he literally, he found his wife when he was, like, I don't know, got married really young, found his wife cheating on him with a young guy, like, an appropriately young guy.
A child.
In anger, set the house on fire. No,
he
drove his car into the house, sets on fire, she dies in the fire. So it's manslaughter, I guess.
Yeah.
Technically. He didn't mean to kill her, but he did. And he has to leave. And then he, like, works on ships and, like, eats scavengers for food. Like, he's just going. He's just trying to survive. For 8 years. Yeah. Just around.
And then he washes up on the streets, and then he...
He hides...
Not the streets, the street's property.
Yeah, he basically jumps off a ship and then just swims in the direction of a boat, gets on that boat. That boat happens to be Jadine and... What's her name? And Margaret's boat. I believe that's what actually happens. And then that's how...
The Queen of England.
No, yeah.
The Queen of France.
The Queen of France boat. And that's how they end up... He ends up on the island, and then he just... hangs around stealing food from the kitchen until they find him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he, yeah, very much more. Yeah. And so she just, he goes to visit his family he hasn't seen in 8 years, and she's like complaining about everything.
Yeah. I was like, that was annoying. I was like, just grow up. Like, it just sucks, but like, you just have to just try and enjoy it. I don't know. Like, at least when she was like, the photos were weird and like very like, anthropology like I'm taking photos of this culture, like these country folk. But like, just I don't, just your boyfriend that you love so much just got reunited with his family after 8 years. Like,
I also I think it's really interesting because, again, as someone who reads a lot of romance novels, I consider myself quite an expert. So when I, when a character says I love you, I can tell very quickly narratively whether or not I believe it. And every time they said in this book, I was like, no, you don't. You love the idea of them. And like, especially I think for Jadine, like it even says in the description, like the, what, again, I'm assuming Morrison wrote or someone wrote that like, he is like what she both loathes but also desires.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this like, you know, like I'm attracted to you because you're so like foreign to me. Like I don't, I've never met someone like you. Which is like the draw of like the, okay, I can't think of the word right now, but like, I guess like exotic, no, not exotic.
It almost like in a, I get what you're trying to say.
Or it's like the bad boy thing, right? Yeah. Like she grew up in the privilege, the wealth, and then he's like the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, you know, that's, it's different. It, I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know.
I mean, also
I can't
like
think of the word, but
because when she first meets him, he hasn't showered in like who knows how long, and he's like gross and unshaven, blah blah blah, and he like takes a shower and shaves his beard, and she's like, oh my god, he's handsome.
Yeah, and you're like, so big and handsome. Your hands are so big. That was weird.
So she's like actually just also very like physical, like she's like, oh wow, he's so attractive, and she's like very physically attracted to him. And I don't know, they're really, I don't know why he likes her. I mean, obviously she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And like,
I think that's it really.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I was like, these guys really... I guess they have, like, a lot of sexual chemistry. That's, I don't know. That's what seems to be driving that. That's, like, what they... Like, they're just having a great time, and then they have to actually address the real world, and, like, everything falls apart because... And gets really bad and, like, violent.
Yes.
Because...
See... But it was also in the beginning, it was not good.
Yeah,
like their
when
first
they met,
interaction was very off putting as a reader reading it. Like,
that's why, I think, like, from the beginning, you just can't root for them because you're like, that was weird.
The very casual way that the male characters in this book just talk about sexual violence is very just, I guess, off putting. I don't really know a better word than that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I feel like.
Like, they basically, like, Valerian and Sun joke about it.
Yeah. No, they're like, ha ha, like, my wife thought you were going to assault her. And he's like, ha,
and he's like, truly,
I, never...
I actually wish that I was in Jadine's room. Like, that's what I was aiming for. And it, like, he makes a joke and then it just, like, passes. They just, like, keep talking.
Yeah. But it's also, like, I don't know. I feel like that is just what it is. Like, that's, like, how guys, like, a lot of men are. Especially in, like, the 70s. Like... And I feel like Morrison, the way that more, and I've only read two of her books, but like the way she, I'm a Morrison expert. the way she like portrays a lot of violence is very just like just cut and dry.
It's
like,
very, yeah,
it's there. It was done.
And it's like, very blunt.
It's very blunt. She isn't like even like Jazz is about like the central character. One of the central characters like had an affair with like a teenager and then murdered her when she didn't want to date him anymore.
Okay, what? Sorry, backtrack?
That's what Jazz is about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about in this book, and no, I missed that.
That's her other book.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And it's not really about that, but that's like one of the...
The plot, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like that's another thing I like about Morrison is it's not about... Like, it's about everything around that that, like, creates those circumstances almost.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, about all the, like, power structures and, like, different interactions and, like, experiences that these people have where they, like, feel comfortable even, like, feel comfortable doing things, why they're allowed to, like, why it plays out. Like, not to talk too much about Jazz, sorry, but, like, in the book, of 'cause, you know, they... That happens from the beginning that he like killed this girl.
Yeah.
But then later you realize he shot her and it wasn't like life threatening at all. And the reason she ends up dying is because she was at like a black club in like the 20s and the 911 didn't come because they didn't care because they were like, oh, that's like a black club, whatever. And yeah. It came like in 24 hours and she only died. Well, she didn't only, like, he did kill her.
Yeah.
But like she died because of like negligence.
Yeah.
On top of everything, like, they just didn't care. And, like, there's just, like, all these, it's just, like, layers and layers and layers of things.
Yeah.
Which is what true life is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the real world. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Okay, we're going to take a quick ad break.
Sorry. So many tangents.
I mean, I think the Jazz tangent. Also, because, like, I mean, Morrison is, like, I guess, like, a literary icon. I don't know.
She definitely is.
I think, like, there's obviously, like, you know, connections between all of her books and, like, the way she writes characters, right? Just like all authors, right? They start to develop, like, ideas.
Yeah.
That, yeah, relate. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will obviously still be talking about Tar Baby.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The 22nd edition of DOXA Documentary Film Festival returns May 4th to May 14th, 2023. Committed to cultivating curiosity and critical thought, DOXA will present both short and feature films from across Canada and around the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. This year, DOXA is once again returning to local theaters. The in-person festival will include live conversations with filmmakers as well as industry-specific events. The festival program will be announced soon. Visit doxafestival.ca for more information. Discover Noreen Braun's album Songs for Trees, dedicated to the forests and the spirits within the trees. As we fight climate change, trees are the lungs of the planet and we need to help them. Her jazz and blues are blended with rock and synthesized pop elements to create a textured and ambient soundtrack to nature. Songs for Trees is a narrative, with each song guiding us through a journey through the forest. A trip, literally and metaphorically, about the interconnectedness of all things. The Vancouver Sun names it one of five albums you need to hear. Find out more at noreenbraun.com.
Bold and unruly. Going to the forest. Warm stones, All right. Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Randy. You're listening to Dog Eared Radio Book Club, and I'm joined today by Isia.
Hi.
And we are talking about Tar Baby by Toni Morrison. And we're all over the map. We're talking about anything and everything.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, that's the way this book is.
True.
We did leave off talking about how, you know, this book is about the choices and things that these characters do are related to larger systems.
Yeah.
Which is real life.
Yeah. And the way people react to them, too. I guess. It's, yeah.
Yeah. I think to me what was, like, really, I mean, everything that they do is, I think that's, like, the whole thing. Because even as critical as I am, like, in my head of Jadeen, I still, like, get why she is the way she is. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's annoying to read, but you're like, oh my gosh, I also feel a lot of empathy for this character.
Yeah, I feel very empathetic for her and Sun. I feel a lot less empathy for Margaret. I still do, but I'm still like, oh gosh.
Like, yeah. And then zero empathy for Valerian.
Yeah, Valerian is, he's like the guy in Citizen Kane, you know? He dies and he's like, wow.
I don't know that, but
he's rich.
Okay.
Citizen Kane's the best movie. It's not. It's a movie.
People say it and I don't.
It doesn't matter.
Like a Transformers movie.
No, it's like slow, old. Anyways, okay, point I bring that up is he dies. He's a very wealthy guy.
Yeah.
And he dies and he's like, wow, I never had true love in my family sucked. I didn't have love in my life. And he's like, Rosebud, which is like a reference to the childhood where there was no love.
Okay.
And that's going to be Valerian when he dies.
Yeah. Because
he didn't love anyone.
Yeah.
He only loves his plants. And he doesn't even know how to take care of them that well compared to
no,
Sun.
No, Sun is so
Sun
much
walks
better
in
at
and
it.
Is like, bloop, 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 and like fixes yeah. everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of like rich white people. In the book that we read 2 weeks ago, so Greenwood,
mm-hmm.
I talked about it with Cleo. In that book, there is also, like, a rich white dude who, creates, like, this lumber empire.
Okay.
And he was way more fleshed out. Like, I had way more empathy for him.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, he was a closeted gay man in the 70s. He had this lover that he could never be public with. And he had this very complex relationship with this. So they weren't actually brothers, but they grew up together. So they were like the only family each other had. They had a very complex relationship. Anyways, the point I'm getting at is like, it was like very fleshed out. Whereas I feel like, and he had like things, I guess, that like, yeah, like, made his life more complex and his decisions not so one-dimensional, whereas I feel like Valerian is not that person. He is very much just like, I did things, I want to be rich, and now I am rich, and I have this house on an island in the Caribbean where only 13 other people like have house. I didn't get that part.
Well, it's just like a tiny island that like rich people buy property on to build like vacation homes, essentially.
Yeah, and now he can just, you know, he has, like, full power over everything that goes on around him. He's, like, created a kingdom, essentially.
Yeah.
And now he gets to rule and rule it.
Yeah.
Even
if how he, like, got his wealth, like, he just was born into a family that did candy. And then he took over and he did well, like.
Yeah. And then he was mad that his son didn't want to take over.
Yeah, he, like, hasn't. It wasn't even like he was an entrepreneur or anything.
No.
Like, he's had this, like, path laid out for him, and he did extremely well in it. And his only, like, I can't remember why his first marriage ended again. It ends for some reason, because he's married before Margaret.
Did she kill him?
What?
Or no, did he kill her? I don't know.
No.
There's a lot of just subtle murder in this
died.
Book.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's very simple, like,
yeah,
and like it doesn't, and he sees things very like simply, because as a lot of like people in very privileged positions do, because they're like, well, you do this and then this goes on, like this happens for you, because he has no barriers in his life, basically.
Yeah.
And it hurts him in the end because he doesn't know anything that's going on, basically.
Yeah, he'll just die alone.
Yeah. Margaret's gonna spend her time in Milan shopping, and he'll die on the island. I mean, he's dying. By the end of the book, he's like on basically like, he's just dying of shock from like what Ondine said.
Yeah.
And it's like over for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it, I don't know. It's very, I don't, like, I feel like sad is too simplistic of a word to describe this book. But I do think, like, it's not, I mean, obviously this isn't, like, a happily ever after book.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting. So when they, like, left off at the end, Teresa's talking about, okay, so this is something we talk about. There's, like, this group of people that ride horses.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like a,
like a myth?
Yeah, it's like a island myth.
Yeah, through the swamp.
Yes. Yes, I don't, I was, like, actually watching a video about this earlier, but I can't. I, like, didn't latch on to that part.
Yeah. Because that's sort of how they end it, though. Because they end it with, like, she's like, you should join them.
Yeah.
Like, go find them and join them. Forget Jadine. Go join them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, like, another, I think that's something that Morrison has a lot of in her books. Like, there's a lot of, like, random magical realism and, like, kind of, I don't know, just, like, otherworldly stuff that will just like she'll kind of sprinkle in there, and it's like kind of a metaphor but also like kind of like what the ending. I found like I was like I don't know I found the ending really unsettling. It was like really stressing me out. Like you can't see and he just starts running
and through the swamp,
and I don't know, he finally like reached a place of such like theoretically he could have been so comfortable after like 8 years of just like tumultuous like change. Where he could have gone to school and, like, lived with his beautiful girlfriend who would, like, take care of him. But, or, like, once she leaves, he could have, like, gone back to Elo or, like, stayed with his family or something, you know? And he doesn't do that and he's, like, ends in chaos once again. And you have no idea what happens to him.
It was very chaotic because I was kind of like, why are you going? I mean, I get, not really, but, yeah. It is. I agree. It is kind of like unsettling because you have no idea what's happening by the end of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you also don't like. We have no idea. It's not like a, like I guess like hopeful revolutionary ending where like Ondine and Sydney leave and they buy a place on their own and you know Jadine cares for them and provides for them.
Yeah, Jadine actually says, "I don't want to. I can't take care of you."
Yeah,
which is insane.
Yeah,
when she says that to Ondine, and I get it. She's like, kind of been through it. I don't know. She went on this like whirlwind experience with this guy, and like it ends really badly. But they literally have like nothing because they've spent their whole life propping you up, and she looks her in the eyes and says,
"I'm not going to do anything for you."
Yeah. And Ondine's like, you never learned how to be a daughter, which I thought was very interesting. That's kind of like an interesting, I haven't like thought about it too much, but like it is interesting, like because we don't talk about that as a, like I think we definitely talk about being like son or daughter or child or whatever as a role, but like not as much as we talk about other roles. In, like, a relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of an interest. She's like, you'll never be able to be a wife or a mother if you never learned how to be a daughter. Which I thought was, like...
Yeah. Well, it is very, like... Yeah, like, I don't know. I think people are having these again, most of the people I see having these conversations are definitely white people on TikTok.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, what do they owe their parents? And, like, you know, like... their relationship with their parents and like who cares for them and like the whole debate of like sending your parents to a home which is obviously also like a 2023 Canadian
it's like a very cultural
conversation, but I do think it is interesting when they do bring up, I think, the dynamic between Jadine. I don't know, I was very compelled by the dynamic between Jadine and Ondine versus Jadine and Margaret.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like a lot of things, like, she approached Margaret with more care and, like, more, I guess, gentleness. Yeah. But that makes a lot of sense.
She's, like, her pacifier, basically. That's, like, her job is just to, like...
But it's kind of, like, a protection for Jadine because Jadine can't be, like, because she kind of exists in this, like, middle ground, she can say very blunt things or whatever to Ondine and nothing will happen, versus, like, Margaret carries so much power that she basically exists to just pacify her so that nothing is escalated so great, so she doesn't lose the opportunities that she has.
Yeah.
Because at any point, Valerian could just decide that, no, you're not staying here anymore.
Yeah, and she, like, also is, like, first to agree with Valerian and kind of, like...
Yeah. Which I think is something that's, like, a point where Son doesn't really understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Because Son comes in and just sees her being so complicit. Yeah. But doesn't understand that she basically is being watched by this old white dude all of the time.
Yeah.
So her behavior is, like, being checked. And if she does anything that he's not, he's proven that if you step outside of whatever his imaginary boundaries are, he'll just fire you. He'll get rid of you.
Yeah. But also, yeah. But then, yeah, I don't know. Their son's, like, it is weird because I get where he's coming from on, like, why he just, like, I guess disapproves of, on like, Jadine's relationship with the streets and, like, doesn't, he sees it as, like, purely transactional. But it's also, like, it is very material. Like, it's changed her life and, like,
yeah,
I don't know, what would she be doing if it wasn't for them? But it is, it's just, like, it's, I think it's because the, like, the feel, like, the work that she does and, like, her life and Ondine and Sydney's life, it's, like, their work and their personal life are so tightly intertwined. There's, like, basically no separation between the two. And it's just, like, that's why it's so icky. There's just, they don't go home. Like, I guess, like, Sydney and Ondine talk about, like, how their little space down there is, like, the only thing that feels like theirs. And when Sun goes down there, they're really, like, it, like, is kind of shocking because they're, like, what are you doing down here? But even then, they don't own it, and they're just, like, trapped by their need to be employed, essentially. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drink some water.
Okay, that's a good call. Yeah, I think that's a very good point about, like, the intertwining. I think it also is, like, the, again, like, bringing in, like, this book focusing on class and race. And then, I mean, also, like, gender to a certain extent, as always. Because, I mean, obviously, Jadine is a woman. Mm-hmm. But I think it, like, again, I guess connecting it to, like, a 2023 understanding, something, like, we talk about in my class, and I recently wrote an essay on, is, like, people misinterpreting Audre Lorde's essay, The Master's Tools Will Never Dismantle the Master's House, and how, like, a lot of people kind of, like, jump to that as a dismissal of, like, any work people attempt to do within a system, being like, oh, you're never going to actually do anything.
Yeah.
But it kind of, like, erases, like, you know, frontline work that, like, is sort of, like, an immediate reaction to what capitalism and colonialism has done. That's sort of, like, a temporary protection for people until you can ultimately dismantle the system to, like, change things.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't, like, I get, like, this is obviously more individual. The book, Tar Baby, is, like, individual. But I think it also, like, sort of reflects about how they do, although they are both Black people in America, it's, like, a far different perspective of the world that they grew up in, which is what you brought up in the beginning about how they have different relationships to their Blackness.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one thing that Morrison does, like, exceptionally well, is, like, just displaying intersectionality in, like, the most acute ways, like, even in her other books, like, in Jazz, sorry to mention it again, but, like, even, like, talking about, like, even, like, Jadine's, like, beauty and the fact that she's, like, has lighter skin and, like, so much of that gives her a lot of, like, privilege. And, like, obviously when it gets into, like, beauty and women, there's, like, it's complicated because obviously, like, being attractive can get you stuff, but, like, it can be a conditional, and, like, it, beauty fades, blah blah blah, and, like, is being valued for your looks, empowerment, blah blah, that's another discussion. But it does get her, like, material, like, gains, you know, like she yeah. has, like, she directly, like, is benefiting from also the way she looks and, like, beauty standards and stuff like that. And I feel like, yeah, it's just, it's like, this book is like the opposite of the other book that I we did on your show. What was the book called?
Honey Girl.
It's like the opposite.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
Well, I mean, that was like a lighthearted, like, romantic.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't mean like in genre. Obviously, oh. like, I'm not going to compare the quality of these books. But I just mean like Honey Girl was like very like, here is a woman. She's biracial.
Yeah.
And she is a lesbian. And this is her, and this blah, blah, blah. And like, and then her friend is this. And then blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, I don't know, Toni Morrison, like, just really flushes all of those things out, but she doesn't make it easy. So you're kind of just like,
yeah,
you have to.
Well, and I think that's exactly, yeah. And again, like, what connecting it to my degree, which I've finished, fun Woo! Fact.
Congrats.
Yeah. I paid for my
cap and gown. Nice. Isn't that annoying that you have
it
to
is.
Do that?
Yeah, it is. Well, considering I've paid thousands of yeah, dollars like for my
another
degree.
$50, really?
Another $50? Are you kidding me? Okay. I did take the two tickets, even though I don't need them, because I'll give them away. I don't care.
They always have extra ones anyways.
I know. But do you have to pay for the extra ones?
Yeah, they're like $3 yeah. each.
Anyways, doesn't matter.
in case you guys need to know.
but yeah, like, again, like, in my program, I think in academic language, intersectionality is considered this very, like, overarching, like, broad scope thing. And so it's not really viewed as, like, an individual experience that people have.
Yeah.
Like, I think the internet has really done this, taken, like, the term intersectionality, and it uses this, like, the figure of a Black woman as, like, the ultimate intersection. And so it uses that as, like, so it just kind of creates this, like, it feeds into, like, things, like, ideas of, like, the oppression Olympics and things like that, and sort of, like, takes it to, like, a non-human approach, I guess. Whereas, yeah. like, when you read this book, I mean, these are humans. Like, you're reading characters that feel quite real yeah. when you're reading about them. So I think I agree with you. That's basically what I'm saying. I agree with you, which I yeah. could have just said. But I agree with what you're saying about how, like, Morrison does a really good job of, like, because she is basically writing a book about, like, systems of power, racism, like, classism, intersectionality, like, all of these terms that we use, but it's
so
from,
real.
Yeah, but yeah. it's so real and it's so human. So when you're reading about Jadine, yeah, you could, like, apply all these labels to her, but you also get that same information by just, like, reading about her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which, like, not to diminish, because obviously, like, the labels and things can play a role in understanding, you know, systems, right? Like, that's yeah. how you talk about them. But I think it's, like, to me, one thing I've learned, again, in my degree is, like, the importance of both, right? Like, you both have to have this, like, overarching understanding. But then I think reading books by Morrison that are, you know, fictional, but they're also grounded in reality.
Yeah.
It gives you this, like, more human approach and understanding that you don't get from reading nonfiction or reading academic papers.
Yeah. And, yeah, you have to, like, I don't know, to understand these things, you have to, like, actually try harder than just, like, having a Rolodex of, like, terms in your brain.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I feel like what you were saying about, like, the internet and how it's, like, kind of turned these terms into kind of, like, they're obviously, they are tools, but they're not, they're, like, they're, it's not something you implement onto reality. They are, like, derived from reality, I guess. And,
yeah.
like, I feel like people forget that, slash they don't want to think about it that way because it's harder,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, I get, kind of, but also I don't get. If you're going to be talking about this stuff, then you should try hard or
yeah.
just, like, don't bother. I don't know. Anyways, that's not.
Yeah.
That was a.
Well, you're going to, I mean, even, like, when I talk about books on this show, like, when we read, like, because we've read books now by like Indigenous author, I think. I don't know. Scratch that. Actually, maybe I haven't. I thought I did. But like when I read books on this show that talk about race as the white host of this show, yeah, like it's a challenging thing to navigate because I am so used to like looking at it from like the academic background that's like very like taken aback from like the personal aspect.
Yeah.
But when you read a book, it's like this is, and also like a lot of it's connected to the person who wrote it, right?
Yeah.
Like Toni Morrison was living in the 80s well before then too. I don't know when she was born.
Probably like, I don't know. I know she passed away recently. I will look it up while you continue talking.
Yeah. But anyways, she grew up in the States. Again, I don't know where. But in the U.S. as a black person and was, you know, living amongst all of these things that she was writing about. So like her own, it's very believable that her own experiences are brought into her writing and like very much contribute to the way she views the world. So yeah,
born in the 30s and died in 2019.
Okay.
From Ohio, Midwest.
Ohio, Midwest.
I don't know. She was born there. I don't know if she grew up there, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what state is Baltimore in?
Maryland. Maryland. Yeah.
It's That's
Maryland.
In the east.
Yeah, East Coast.
East Coast.
I guess we're done, right? We're running out of time.
You're like,
my parting statement. Do I get with those?
Yeah, give me a parting.
My
statement.
My parting statement is that everyone should read Morrison because she does a really good job of connecting the personal to the political in a very honest and interesting way. Take your time reading her books because they're not easy to read, at least for me and Randy, I think. and 10 out of 10 would recommend. I haven't read her classic big books yet, but I'll get there. I just need a break. I need to take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I want to read Beloved next. That's the one that everyone talks about.
Yeah, that's like her big, like that and like The Bluest Eye and Sula. Anyways.
Yeah. There's a lot. I think she wrote a lot of books.
She's a legend.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I think read these books. Like I said, that's, I mean, what I like to do on this show because I think it allows you to think about these like larger ideas through like an individual human experience, but you're not talking about real people, so it's a little bit, I don't know. Anyways, I feel like that went off the rails, but I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to start like a true crime podcast or like talk about real people.
True crime is weird. Yeah. That's my parting statement. True crime.
Yeah, that's
is weird.
A better parting statement. Anyways, this book is good. Read it, but don't read it in an afternoon. Take your time. Read like a chapter a day or like a few pages. And yeah, stay tuned. I will be back. I don't think I see it will be back.
No, sad.
Maybe in the future, but I will be back in 2 weeks from now, which I don't know what date that is. And we're going to talk about a romance novel because I also want a break. so we're going back to romance. So stay tuned for that. If you want to check out what that book will be, follow me on Instagram at DogEaredRadioBookClub. You can always email me at DogEaredBookClubRadio@gmail.com. And without further ado, I will leave you all listeners to the rest of your Tuesday.